Turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John 13. We'll start in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. But I not speak of all of you. I know the ones whom I have chosen, but it is that one that the scripture be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted his heel against me.' From now on I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we could come here today and meet around your table, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have prepared this for us and made this for us, Father, to share with you. And we thank you for that, and Father, help us to have good hearts, Father, and help us to keep growing, and guide us as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we went over the first part of this, and we talked about how Jesus, it mentions in the first few verses, and this is about time when he is going to be led, taken by the hand, and crucified, and depart from the world. And so he's teaching the disciples a few things before he dies. And he shows them here an important lesson of service and being a servant. And he washes the feet even to the point where Peter doesn't like that idea. And so he explains to him that he needs to do it or else he's not a part of him. Because Jesus, in their mind, I mean, which is true, because he says that later, "You call me Lord and you call me teacher," and that is right, because I am. But if I, being the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And he's showing them that example of service. And he's using this tool that we looked in some Old Testament passages that was a custom, you know, when you had guests or when people traveled, you gave them water to wash their feet, and then you gave them some bread or something to drink, or as Abraham did, or as Lot did, I think it was Joseph we looked at, but we also looked at where David didn't wash his feet, where he was dirty, he hadn't bathed, and that was a sign of mourning, and that was a sign of sorrow. And so when somebody come to wash to your house, when you gave them water to wash their feet, that was a custom that was a symbol of maybe of respect or give them honor, where in the case of when Simon, not Simon Peter, but another Simon, when the woman comes in and cries and washes Jesus' feet with her tears, he says, "Simon, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet when I came in, but she's washed her feet with my tears. And you didn't give me a kiss when I came in, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet." And so she understood who Jesus was, and it was a sign of respect and honor. And so Jesus here is being a servant and showing that to his disciples, and he is serving them when he washes their feet. In verse 4, as we're going through part 2 here this week, verse 4 is an important, it's not the most important thing, but it's a noteworthy to point out that he's doing this during supper or in connection with the meal. He says he got up from supper and he laid aside his garments and taking a towel, he girded himself. Okay, and at this time, as we're going to see, this is when Jesus is with his 12 apostles, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke have this account when he institutes the Lord's Supper. And Jesus is washing their feet while he's instituting this, instituting the Lord's Supper. If we turn back over to Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, in verse 14 we're going to start. Luke 22, verse 14, and Luke writes, he says, "When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when he had taken the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This the cup is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood.'" I'll stop there a second. So Jesus made us, and he says here, "I'm going to eat this with you in the kingdom of God." And we know that the kingdom of God is the church, and we already entered into the kingdom of God. It's the spiritual kingdom. And Jesus made us, has made us to dine with him. And when he is washing the disciples' feet, he is washing them, he is serving them at this table. Okay, it's in connection with this meal that he is instituting, the Lord's Supper, or as he refers to it here in Luke, the Passover in the kingdom of God, the true Passover, because Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. Turn back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, so he serves us when cleans, and is in connection with eating the supper. And in verse 11, he says, I'm going to back up to verse 10. It says, "And he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him, and for this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" So he uses the example. Okay, so Peter and we'll just separate this out for a second. Peter and the rest of the apostles, the rest of the ten with him, not Judas included, but the rest of the ten, you know, he says, "You are clean. So if you're clean, you don't need to wash your feet. You don't have to wash you don't have to bathe completely." Okay, so there's work that they're doing. Jesus made it so they could share with him. They're at the supper, and he's serving them by washing their feet. And he says Judas is not clean. He doesn't specifically say Judas, but when you read in the text there, he's saying it because the one who was betraying him was not clean. That's why he said that there in verse 11. So Judas was one who he gives as not clean. Now, I'm not saying that their sins had been forgiven yet and they had the Holy Spirit, because they hadn't had that yet. The Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. But it's a picture of where he's instituting the Lord's Supper, and he's a picture of them being clean and sharing it with him. But he also has a picture of Judas, who is not clean, and Judas is also sharing it with him. But I want to make a point before we go on here, is that we mentioned last time too, is that Judas was not clean by his choice. And it mentions before that the devil had already put into Judas's heart before, during the supper to betray Jesus back in verse 2 of chapter 13. But Judas, and we talked last week, we kind of hit this point where Judas didn't do that. It wasn't all of a sudden that it happened. Judas had been leading up to that. Actually, it's been a few of the past sermons that we've talked about that Judas was that way because of some choices that he made, because he kept letting himself get that way and flirting with the line, if you want to call it that. Flirting with darkness. And so sooner or later he became that way. So when we see here in verse 13, if we just start there, it almost seems, without the rest of the context of John, it seems like, well, God just made Judas be that way. Well, no, Judas was that way. Judas was not clean because Judas chose to be that way, because he had the opportunity to be clean, but he chose. And Jesus gave him the opportunity clear up until during the supper. Jesus was still giving him the opportunity to change. He didn't, but Jesus still gave him the opportunity. He still called him the one. He didn't even call him out, and we're not going to get to it this week, but even when he gives him the morsel, as we're going to read in next time, but the other apostles didn't even know that Judas was going to betray him yet. As it says that there in John 13. They didn't even know he was going to betray him yet, even when he gives him that morsel. But Judas probably gets upset thinking that he calls him out and he just doubled down and is going to do it anyway. So anyway, Jesus gives him the opportunity to clear up until he makes a decision. So Judas wasn't clean. Turn back to Luke chapter 22 again. Luke 22, and we're going to continue on. We stopped in verse 20. We're going to pick up in verse 21. So we got the Lord's Supper instituted here again. He says, verse 21, "But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on my table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." So Judas here, Jesus knew that he was going to betray him, and Judas was at the table. Turn back to John chapter, keep that thought in your mind there. John chapter 13 again. Verse 18. John chapter 13, verse 8. And he goes on, he talks about serving one another. Even in the context there, he is talking about serving one another. Okay? And then in verse 18, he says, "I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones whom I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me." Jesus here quotes Psalm 41. We're going to turn back to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Now this is David, a psalm of David here. And it's Psalm 41 verse 9 that he quotes. But remember, as we're looking here, just remind ourselves again here that Judas first had the choice to betray Jesus or not. Secondly, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, and he was the one who was betraying him. Third, he gave him the opportunity to change, even up until he did that. But even knowing that, he is still washing his feet, and he is still dining with him. As I mentioned, it was Psalm 41, verse 9 is where he quotes there. But we're going to back up and we're going to read the chapter here, back to verse 1. It says, "How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon all the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed, and in his illness you restore him to health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself, and he goes outside and tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, the wicked thing he has poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my close friend whom I have trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. For this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout and triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you have set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So, a couple things here. So, Jesus quotes this. Obviously, he's quoting this for a reason. And you can see there, outside of a few verses, that this does apply to Jesus, this context here. First, that would not apply there would be the one where he talks about he had sinned. Now, when we look at Scripture, we know one thing, that the Scripture never means less than what it says, but it can mean more at times. And there is times when it is talking about, and if we're going through Peter, 1 Peter, and Wednesday evening, and Brandon pointed out, and he read in verse 10 through 12, where the apostles and prophets of the Old Testament, they searched and they sought what time or place the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. Okay, they're trying to figure out what they were writing about, and they didn't understand it. But a lot of times they were writing about some things that they were going through, and David here is writing about something that he's going through. So it definitely applies to David, but this stuff also applies to Jesus. Because his enemies were always against him, and finally it was the one. Well, he talks about even the enemies speak evil against me, and he talks about it. When he comes to me in verse 6, he speaks falsehood, and his heart gathers wickedness in itself. This is someone that David has somewhat of a relationship with, and it's a foreshadow of Jesus with Judas. Now, again, like I mentioned, it's where it talks about when he says that I have sinned, that's not applying to Jesus, but it is the idea of the enemies surrounding and Jesus reaching out the hand, just like David did. Because in a righteous kingdom, the wicked also have prosperity. They reap the benefit of not having being suppressed. They reap the benefit of the righteous king, but then they also are, what is the term, if you want to use our term, cutting off the hand that feeds you or stabbing you in the back. And that's what happened with David here, is that he seems to be a friend or some kind of companion or someone who he conversed with and talked, and maybe even he knew him well. And he was the one who he, as he says, ate my bread, lifted up his heel against me. And Jesus quotes this, and it's exactly the same thing it's talking about and looking forward to Jesus as well. But it's also, if you want to apply a third thing to it, it's also true about us as well. Okay, if it's true about David, it can be true about us, because I'm not talking about those who we have over for supper, I'm talking about those who we share the supper with, the Lord's Supper. Because that's what the context of this is. Let's turn back to Matthew, New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. In verse 30, it says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin is blasphemy shall be, and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, when you use that phrase, in this age or the age to come, Jesus is referencing that it's not forgivable. And when he's talking about not being not forgivable, he's talking about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When he says that he who is with him scatters, or is not with him scatters, and he who does not gather with me, or he who is not with him is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And in the case of the context we're talking about, and where even Jesus quotes that Psalm 41, and David is talking about that, it is someone that's a companion, that's someone that's close. In Judas's case, it was Judas that was close. Judas is a representation there of those who share in the Passover meal in the kingdom of God, those who are part of the church, and they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit and deny the Holy Spirit and turn away from God and fall away and reject him. That's the unforgivable sin. That's why it says you won't be forgiven in this age or the age to come, because they turn away from God and they don't return to God. It's not like something that you can slip up and accidentally do and then you're condemned to hell forever. That's not what God is talking about. It's someone who is choosing to make that, to choose that lifestyle. It's someone who has the benefits of, like Judas, he had all the benefits of being with Christ. He had all the benefits and he rejected it. It just got worse and worse and worse, and he flirted and flirted and flirted with darkness over and over and over again until finally Jesus gave him a chance, even up until he had a chance to change, even up until he went away. So you can look at the example there. You know, you have people a lot of times, this is not talking about somebody who is an enemy as in a foreigner. This is talking about somebody who has a share, who's a sharer in the supper, as Judas was. If you turn back to John 13, Judas was a sharer in the supper, even when Jesus knew he was the one he was going to betray him. Even when Jesus could see that character, even when Jesus knew that he was going to be the one. And I don't know if there's any other details that something he knew that the disciples didn't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he knew that he pilfered money off the money box or whatever it was. But the question would be: is that what do we do if somebody hurts us? When we have a problem with someone, and I'm not talking about someone that's outside of the body. I mean, that's another matter. But I'm talking about someone specifically inside the body of Christ. See, Jesus' example was that he still washed the feet. He still shared with them. He was bearing the burden. Hopefully they could change and repent. You know, it's real easy for us to think, well, I just get tired of that person because they just continue to do that and do that. And I'm not saying that there's not times for that. And obviously, there is times to address those things. But in this case, Jesus knew. It wasn't a question. Jesus knew exactly who it was. And because next time, a little few verses down, he goes and he gives him the morsel and he says, do what you are going to do quickly. So he knew who he was, but he still was trying to bear a burden. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to stop that. I'm saying is that I think we jump to that conclusion too fast at times. Someone will just irritate us or someone bugs us and it's really hard to bear a burden. I'm not saying it's not easy. It's not hard. It isn't easy. But if you understand what the washing of the feet mean, and people, as I mentioned last time, people miss this, the point of this message about like the idea of washing feet, and they think they come and they, you know, usually it's in connection with when they take their Lord's Supper or whatever, or their communion, which isn't really the Lord's Supper, just bread and juice to them. But they usually do it in connection with something like that, and they'll say, well, they're physically carrying out something that Jesus did to give us a spiritual lesson of serving one another. Because when you're washing someone's feet and put yourself in that position, you know, in your mindset for a second, put yourself in that position of washing someone's feet, That's not the most glorious job. And in the culture especially, that was something that someone low did. Now you're not the one at the table, you're the one who's washing the feet. And Jesus was serving them, and the greatest among them was going to be the servant. And it was a lesson to both us in two ways, where we are serving one another, but then also serving even if people aren't doing it back to us, and even if they're going to be the ones betraying us. But sharing with them, yes, I mean, I understand there is a time for separation. The scripture talks about those things. But let's not always jump to that right away. Maybe we need to bear a burden a little bit longer. I mean, if you put it in the side by side of what Jesus had to go through, or was going to go through because of what Judas did, the things that people do to us don't really compare and give us a reason to be like, well, I'm not going to help them out now. I'm not going to wash their feet, spiritually speaking. Okay? Because Jesus, knowing that Judas was going to, because that's what it says, that the whole context of the chapter there is that he knows that he is about ready to die. He knows he's going to be betrayed. It's coming, it's close, and he knows who's going to do it, and he still serves him, and he still eats with him, and he still dines with him, and washes his feet. So when we share in this, the point of trying to do that, and obviously Judas didn't repent, but the point in serving is that hopefully they'll repent. Hopefully they'll see the love that we have, and they'll repent and change. But if not, then we still serve the Lord because we're a servant. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunities, Father, that we have. Father, we know that it's a lot easier to say things than to do them sometimes. And we say that we want to be servants, and it's not that we don't want to be, but Father, it's a lot harder sometimes when the burden's hard and burden's heavy. Father, when people treat us poorly, but Father, help us to follow your example and to serve them, even if they aren't serving us, even if they are getting ready to betray us, Father. Father, in those cases, help the situations that they repent and change. But Father, help us to do things with a good heart, regardless of the outcome, and be a servant and be an example for you, be example for the lost world, so people can come to you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.